and she ate her meals alone. This was the greatest crisis our marriage had faced. She was genuinely angry with me, and I understood exactly how she felt. After her 3 days of silence, Kumiko asked me, "What would you think if you were in my position?" These were the very first words she spoke. "What if I had come home at 3 o'clock on Sunday morning without so much as a telephone call? I've been in bed with a man all this time, but don't worry, I didn't do anything. Please believe me, I was just recharging his batteries. Okay, great, let's have breakfast and go to sleep. You mean to say you wouldn't get angry? You just believe me?" I kept quiet. "And what you did was even worse than that," Kumiko continued. "You lied to me. You said you were drinking and playing mahjong, a complete lie. How do you expect me to believe you didn't sleep with her?"
"I'm sorry I lied," I said. "I should never have done that, but the only reason I lied was because the truth was so difficult to explain. I want you to believe me. I really didn't do anything wrong." Kumiko put her head on the table. I felt as if the air in the room were gradually thinning out. "I don't know what to say," I said. "I can't explain it other than to ask you to believe me."
"All right. If you want me to believe you, I will," she said. "But I want you to remember this. I'm probably going to do the same thing to you someday, and when that time comes, I want you to believe me. I have that right."
Kumiko had never exercised that right. Every once in a while, I imagined how I would feel if she did exercise it. I would probably believe her, but my reaction would no doubt be as complex and as difficult to deal with as Kumiko's. To think that she had made a point of doing such a thing, and for what? Which was exactly how she must have felt about me back then.
"Mr. Wind-Up Bird,"
came a voice from the garden. It was Mei Kasahara. Still toweling my hair, I went out to the veranda. She was sitting on the edge, biting a thumbnail. She wore the same dark sunglasses as when I had first met her, plus cream-colored cotton trousers and a black polo shirt. In her hand was a clipboard.
"I climbed it,"
she said, pointing to the breeze block wall. Then she brushed away the dirt clinging to her trousers.
"I figured I had the right place. I'm glad it was yours. Think if I had come over the wall into the wrong house?"
She took a bag of Hope regulars from her pocket and lit up.
"Anyhow, Mr. Wind-Up Bird, how are you?"
"Okay, I guess."
"I'm going to work now," she said. "Why don't you come along? We work in teams of two, and it'd be so much better for me to have somebody I know. Some new guy to ask me all kinds of questions. How old are you? Why aren't you in school? It's such a pain. Or maybe he'd turn out to be a pervert. It happens, you know. Do it for me, will you, Mr. Wind-Up Bird?"
"Is it that job you told me about? Some kind of survey for a wig maker?"
"That's it,"
she said.
"All you have to do is count bald heads on the Ginza from 1 to 4. It's easy. And it'll be good for you. You'll be bald too someday, the way you're going, so you better check it out now while you still have hair."
"Yeah, but how about you? Isn't the truant officer going to get you if they see you doing this stuff on the Ginza in the middle of the day?"
"Nah, I just tell them it's field work for social studies. It always works."
With no plans for the afternoon, I decided to tag along. Mei Kasahara phoned her company to say we would be coming. On the telephone, she turned into a very proper young woman. "Yes, sir, I would like to team up with him. Yes, that is correct. Thank you very much. Yes, I understand. Yes, we can be there by noon." I left a note for Kumiko saying I would be back by 6 in case she got home early. Then I left the house with Mei Kasahara. The wig company was in Shinbashi. On the subway, Mei Kasahara explained how the survey worked. We were to stand on a street corner and count all the bald men, or those with thinning hair, who walked by. We were to classify them according to the degree of their baldness. C, those whose hair had thinned somewhat. B, those who had lost a lot. And A, those who were totally bald. Mei took a pamphlet from her folder and showed me examples of the three stages.
"You get the idea pretty much, right? Which heads fit which categories? I won't go into details, it'll take all day, but you get it pretty much, which is which."
"Pretty much," I said, without exuding a great deal of confidence. On Mei Kasahara's other side sat an overweight company type, a very definite B, who kept glancing uneasily at the pamphlet, but she seemed not to notice how nervous this was making him.
I'll be in charge of putting them into categories, and you stand next to me with a survey sheet. You put them...